Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Wow, not a bad one.
Morales is,
he's obviously hurt, but his growl was strong.
Yes, his feelings are hurt, and I say...
He'll get, you know what, Mace, on Saturday, when he is the third wheel in the Ireland versus Travis golf showdown...
Take him down, John.
No. I don't think it's... I think he's going to have a very good day.
Why, did you play today?
I practiced today.
You practiced today.
It did not go well.
All right, so the big breaking story of the day is that Orlando's Walt Disney World Resort is the clear front runner to become the NBA's playing site to resume the season amid the coronavirus pandemic. We got this news today courtesy Sam Amick and Shams. It's since been followed up on by people like Ramona Shelburne and Woj. It's all happening. It's all happening.
Okay, so a couple things here. I'm excited. I'm cautiously optimistic. You know, no formal announcement, but the people reporting this, guys like that you're talking about, like Shams and Ramona, you know, they don't make stuff up. So there's obviously something to this. A couple things here. First of all, have you ever been to Disney World?
Of course, yeah.
All right, Lindsay, have you been to Disney World?
Of course, I'm a season pass holder at Disneyland.
Yeah, we're from the East Coast. Disneyland was a rumor to us. We went to Disney World.
Okay, it's perfect.
Yes.
It's perfect for what they're talking about. It would be a campus, but not necessarily, I mean, there's nothing they don't have there.
Yep.
I think that if you're going to try this, Disney World is perfect. Not that Las Vegas would be bad, but I just think Disney World is set up. Disney's an NBA partner. Bob Iger, the outgoing chairman of Disney, would love to have this be one of the things he gets done before he steps away from the company that he led for so many years.
Sure.
I just think... It's on paper. I mean, I know things can go wrong. I know, and I know we're going to hear from some. Like, we got one tweet yesterday, Mason. I don't know if you saw it. And it said some lines of Mason and Ireland really want sports. I get it. They're big sports fans. They're just not important now. We can agree to disagree about that.
Yep.
I disagree that it's not important right now. I just think that if we're going to try this, we're going to have to try it with partnerships and people that get it. And I think Bob Iger is one of those guys. I think Adam Silver is one of those guys. I think Jimmy Pitaro, who's now running ESPN, is going to have a big say in this. The guys at TNT are going to have a big say in this.
They've all hired medical professionals. I mean, it's not like these guys are just flying blind. I mean,
they are researching
this and studying this, and they're looking at data, and they're talking to doctors. I mean, hell, the NFL hired somebody just in charge of pandemic safety for the entire league. Or no, every team has to have somebody hired specifically to deal with these issues.
And
I mean, it's not as though people are just winging this thing. It's taken time, but as we see, the country is slowly coming back to life, and whether it's important or not, it's important to a lot of people, and it's an important symbol to a lot of people, sports. You can say that in the great scheme of things, it is in the fun and games department, but you know what? It also will restore some normalcy to all of our lives. Look what that Michael Jordan documentary did for us. All of a sudden, it gave us something to look forward to. People, while they're sheltered in place, and by the way, all 50 states have opened to some degree as of this coming weekend. But as we're coming out of this, I think sports can play a huge role in leading us out of it.
And I think that will also motivate baseball to continue down that road. Scott Boras is going to join us today in 1 hour.
Super agent Scott Boras.
Scott's going to join us in an hour, so we'll maybe get some more facts about whether the players are really demanding anything. I haven't really heard anybody demand anything, and that's what I want to hear. I want to hear people willing to cooperate on both sides. And Scott has made it clear that he wants to play. He thinks like us. He thinks sports, and particularly baseball, because that's his area of expertise, can lead by getting this done. Mace, we got to get the country back together. I mean, yeah. it's just nobody is doing anything. The economy is being devastated. You know, I think governors all over the country are now coming around to that, hey, we're going to have to take some small risks here. And I think this is great news.
Yeah, I do too.
The NBA is talking to Disney World and this might happen.
And by the way, here's a nugget from that story, which is by Shams Charania and Sam Amick. The NBA commissioner Adam Silver informed players on a May 8th call that he hopes the league is able to have daily testing, no stoppage of play if and when a player tests positive, isolating anyone who does test positive in quarantine. He also told the Board of Governors last week he does not expect a medical bubble, but instead an environment in which people can re-enter and undergo testing and retesting when they come back.
And I think that's what the players wanted all along. And I also like the fact that he is admitting basically up front that somebody's going to test positive. It's going to happen.
Yep.
I mean, you'd be fools to think that's not a likely possibility. So when it does, you do exactly what they did with when Dana White had it at the UFC. That fighter on Friday night tested positive. They pulled him off the card. They quarantined him for 2 weeks. They quarantined his trainer. They quarantined anybody else who had been, you know, with him in the ring. And they moved on with their event, and they had 11 fights. And keep in mind, there's a couple other things here to, you know, kind of factor into this. If they do it, and they haven't announced whether or not they're going to just do the 16 playoff teams, like pretend the season, the regular season's over,
right,
and just green, or have a play-in for, I don't know anything, Steve. I'm totally guessing.
Right.
But just because I know the way TV networks think, I know the way marketers think, my guess, complete guess, John Ireland's opinion, nothing else. I think they're going to do a play-in tournament for the 7th and 8th spots because then they get Zion and Damian Lillard into the mix.
Okay, so let me make my caveat. Based on no specific knowledge, just purely a Steve Mason guess, with no backing, I haven't talked to anybody, I think they go straight to the playoffs.
I wouldn't be upset with either.
Because the longer it goes, the more risk there is, right?
Right.
You know, they keep talking about...
And the more people, the bigger the risk.
Right, and more people. And they keep talking about how, you know, maybe it'll get worse again in the fall. The idea is to get the playoffs in before, potentially, it gets worse in the fall. If, in fact, as, you know, Dr. Anthony Fauci and all these people say, if, in fact, that's what's going to happen, I would anticipate cut straight to the playoffs. Let's get started. Let's go right to the playoffs and get those in. And by the way, I think that, you know, I think that they've reached a smart medium in this idea that it is not a self-contained medical bubble, but it is permeable. And that there's daily testing. But the first thing that came to my mind, though, John, and I, you know, this is, you know, so somebody tests positive, they're immediately quarantined and they're gone for 2 weeks or however long they've got to be gone.
Right. And keep in mind that all the teammates would be getting tested at the same time. So you would know if you had multiple positive tests.
What if it's a star?
He's out.
Right, and that tilts the entire balance of a playoff series.
It's the world we live in now.
Yeah, it's the world we live in. Somebody tests positive. If it's somebody, you know, name a star, all of a sudden they test positive, gone for 2 weeks, it changes the balance of power in the postseason.
If it's Giannis, Milwaukee's done.
Correct.
Milwaukee has the best record in the NBA. If it's Giannis, they're obviously out.
If it's Kawhi, aren't the Clippers done?
I think so. The Lakers have a two-headed monster.
Right.
But there are sort of the Thunder. The Rockets. Dallas, could they sustain losing Luka? I doubt it, but they would still have Porzingis. I mean, all right, so let's talk about, let's say for the sake of conversation.
Yep.
Because we've been waiting to talk sports, so let's have some fun.
Let's do it. Yeah.
that you're right and they go straight to the playoffs.
Yep.
Okay. If they do it in the traditional format, now it may not be a 7-game series, but if they do one side of the bracket is 1 versus 8, 4 versus 5. The other side of the bracket is 2 versus 7, 3 versus 6.
Yep.
The Lakers would open against the Memphis Grizzlies. By the way, Memphis would be the only team in the West who would be going into the playoffs with a losing record. They're
right.
32 and 33. But Ja Morant and those guys really play hard. I don't necessarily think that would be a sweep, whether it would be.
I think that's a 5-game series. I mean, they got some nice young players. Dylan Brooks is nice. Jaren Jackson's nice. I mean, they've got some nice young players. It's a really good core. It's a team to watch for in the future, but I don't think it's a team that's a threat to the Lakers right now.
The other side of the Laker bracket would be Utah as the 4, and then Oklahoma City and Houston have identical records.
So they probably both go by conference record.
Right. Or head they would look head to head.
Head to head, right.
Let me do a quick look there, but Oklahoma City, what do you think? I would rather play Oklahoma City.
Yeah,
than
me
Houston
too.
Just because Harden and Westbrook could go off.
Yep.
So in the first time regular season this year, in the first meeting, Houston won.
Yep.
I'm just scrolling down their thing as we're talking here. In the second meeting, Oklahoma City won. Let's see if there was a third meeting before they canceled. I think they've only played twice. No, that can't be. I must have scrolled past one. But so far, I've got them as 1-1. It could
one
be
and that, one.
Yeah, it could. If they're 1-1, then I think you do go to conference record.
And the tricky thing about that is conference record, they haven't played the same number of games. Oklahoma City's 25-15.
What's the percentage?
Houston's 25-17. The percentage
would
be advantage Oklahoma City.
So because you're going to have to do some things that aren't totally fair.
Yes.
By the way, 25-15, 25-17. I'm trying to look at any other ways they could do it. This will all have to shake out. So that would be a break for the Lakers. If the Lakers played Memphis in the opener, then they'd play the winner of Utah and OKC.
Yep.
And then the other side of the bracket would be, what an awesome first round series.
Clippers-Dallas. Yeah, Clippers-Dallas is a great series.
And Denver-Houston's not bad either.
No, really good series.
So that is, you get 4 really good teams on the other side of the bracket if they could do it your way.
But now, I don't see why, John, they would. I mean, I don't see why they'd go to 5-game series.
It would only be to get it all in. It would
to
only
get it
be,
all in.
Yeah, it would only be if they were up against any type of, you know, again, Mace, it's a television show.
Yes.
So the more games, the better. So they could go best 4 out of 7. But here's the other thing that would be weird. You know, like I said, if they did a play-in tournament, like they had 7, 8, 9, 10 and played it.
Right.
In the West, they can't do it because the 10th and 11th teams, New Orleans and Sacramento, have identical records.
Right.
I mean, I guess you could come up with a tiebreaker, but your Sacramento Kings, Luke Walton's Sacramento Kings could weasel in there.
And by the way, Sacramento would have the advantage in conference record.
And San Antonio is only a half game behind them.
Yeah, but Sacramento's 20 and 20 in the conference. It would have to be Sacramento.
You know, and so it. And then
I will have been right.
Well, you, not only will you have been right, but then you don't get Zion in, and you're right about what you said earlier today, that you just take the top 8.
Yeah, I think it makes the most sense. I think
if you can't get Zion in, then, you know.
And by the way, we'll friggin' take it at this point. We will absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. I would take
play
it.
Play out Zion, no Zion. Play it.
Yeah. Well, that's the hardest thing, I think, to explain to people is that there's going to be some things that are not necessarily fair, that are inequitable, that aren't perfect. Who cares, man? Who cares? Let's get it back. It, you know, obviously, as a Laker fan, I would love for the Lakers to play in Staples Center in front of their fans.
Yeah, that would be the ideal world.
I've told you that I have no idea if Michael and I will go to Disney World. We will just wait to hear. There's a chance we'll be calling the games from here. I think it's a coin flip. I don't care, man. Just
not unprecedented in sports. It happens at the Olympics. It gets done.
Yeah, give me the games. The important thing is that we get the games back. If everybody's got to give a little to get the games back, everybody give a little.
Right.
You know, how great would it be if this was, like, Mace, the playoffs should be going on right now. Tonight, it's a Tuesday. Or is it Wednesday today? I forget
Wednesday.
What day it is. There's a chance I'd be doing a playoff game tonight.
What are you laughing at, Lindsay?
I just think it's so funny that nobody knows what day it is.
Nobody does.
Oh,
nobody
yeah.
does. They all blend together.
Yeah, so, I mean, if we get the games back, and it's not perfect, so it's not best 4 out of 7 in the first round, so the announcers aren't in the building, so there's no sideline reporters, there's no post-game interviews on the court right away. Who cares? Give us the games.
Pre-game is 4 boxes on the screen. I mean, it's all fine. It's all fine. And by the way, and again, I'm getting tweets, you guys are so ignorant, you guys are so tone-deaf. You know, the thing is, I'm going to say it again. There are really smart people that are doing this. They're not just winging stuff. You saw with baseball. There's a 67-page manual on how to deal with games moving forwards. And the same is going to happen with the NBA. If the NBA gets going, the best safety and health professionals in the world are going to be involved with planning it and making sure that people stay as safe as possible.
Yeah, and is it, again, like people saying you're being tone deaf? Is it perfect? No, it's not perfect. We're navigating this virus together. We're all in this together. Should they open restaurants? I don't know. Should they open hair salons? I don't know. You could make the argument every single time that it's not worth it to open restaurants. It's not worth it to open hair salons. But at some point, you can't just throw away someone's livelihood. You have to say, okay, how do we do it? How do we try and come back? And if you do it with doctors and you do it with testing, I think that's as safe as you can be.
Yep.
We're going to be in a holding pattern with this virus for a long time, folks. There's no guarantee there's going to be a vaccine in 2020 or maybe even 2021. We got to find a way to live with it, and we got to do it together.
There you go. Lindsay, did we hear back from Sam Amick?
No, but we're going to have Ramona on.
Oh, Ramona. Okay, good. We will get the latest
I guarantee Ramona's been on the phone all day, the minute this broke.
We'll get the latest on it from Ramona Shelmer. Momo joins us next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yeah. You know, last week we said there's light at the end of the tunnel. We're now in the tunnel. We're in the tunnel, and we're getting closer to the light. As of today, the plan for the NBA playoffs to happen at Disney World has taken another step forward, according to multiple reports, and couldn't be more excited about that. John, you know, what I got the most grief about was my position on our position, I guess I should say, on players needing to take that 50-50 deal.
What's the argument against them doing that? And again, we have Scott Boras coming up at 4 o'clock.
Why are we siding with the billionaires over the millionaires? Why are we siding with ownership as opposed to labor? And I think it's probably a pretty fair point. I always come down on the side of labor. Those rich guys can, you know what losing money is to them? A tax deduction. That's what losing money is to them. You know,
here's the counter argument. They're going to lose. I can't stress this enough. The owners are going to lose money if they play this season, because there won't be any fans. If you want baseball back, it's just a matter of how much they're going to lose. And if they have to pay the players, if they have to pay Mike Trout $35 million to play an 82-game season, it's not worth it. You're not going to get baseball
back. But, John, millionaires or billionaires when they take a loss, all they do is write it off on their taxes.
Right.
It's an accounting trick.
Well, you can blame the owners, but you're not going to get baseball back if that's your position. I mean, but I can.
Well,
see
no, I look. I think 50-50 was a starting point. We'll talk to Scott about this. Tom Glavine said something interesting today, and I agree with him. He says if it were to come down to an economic issue, and that's the reason baseball doesn't come back, you're looking at a situation similar to the strike of 94 and 95 as far as fans are concerned. Even if players are 100% justified in what they're complaining about, they're still going to look bad. And that's the truth. Now, the starting point, first of all,
I think they're both going to look bad if they don't play.
We should point out that the owners have not even made an offer yet. There's not been a formal offer made to players. The opening gambit, as they say, is 50-50. That's what they floated out there. 50-50 on the surface sounds reasonable.
But it hasn't been formally offered.
Correct. Has not formally been offered. And we don't know if that actually will be the first offer from the owners. You know, it may be, and I forget who'd we have on yesterday who said it could be a prorated portion of the salary that players would normally get with a 20% haircut or with a 10% haircut or whatever that is. That's more likely to be the plan that gets done. Who'd we have on yesterday that said that?
We were talking to Evan Drellich.
Evan Drellich is the one that suggested that. Thank you. He said, you know, so players get their actual prorated portion, their 82-game version of their salary, but they take a 10% haircut for the team or a 20% haircut for the team. That seems more like something that would get it done as opposed to a rev share. And again, the owners have yet to make this offer. We'll talk to Scott Boras about it coming up. He is going to be all over this because this is his business, man. He is a super
agent.
And
Scott wants to play. He wants to see the game. So we'll get his perspective coming up. Hey, a couple things about this NBA stuff that I've been getting reaction to. By the way, you can react to the show in a bunch of different ways. You can call us 877-710-ESPN. Our phones are always open. You can tweet us. Just use the hashtag AskMasonInIreland, and we'll try and respond to it. And then, Lindsay, what's the number for the voicemail line?
530-ESPN-710. 530-ESPN-710.
Yeah, that shakes out to 530-377-6710.
Oh, and you can even email me, venicemace@gmail.com.
All right, so there's a bunch of ways you can participate in the show. Here's a tweet I got from Sean Jones. Mace, what do you think of this?
Okay.
Ireland, isn't this the best year to throw out conferences and set up a 1 through 16 seeded tournament based on record and play it out? All the games are going to be played in Orlando anyway. And here's his point, that if you look at teams in the West, okay, yep. I mentioned that there are 7 teams with winning records in the Western Conference. The only team with a losing record is Memphis. Now, if you go to the East, Brooklyn is 30-34. They would be in the playoffs. Orlando is 30-35. They would be in the playoffs. If you do 1 through 16, that's how you – well, actually, though, Portland and New Orleans only have 29 and 28 wins, so I don't know if it would change. It would still be the same 16. So you would just seed – so, for example, Milwaukee would have the best record. They would still play Orlando, but the Lakers, who have the second best record, would then play Brooklyn, which could be dangerous because they might have Kyrie. So, but would you consider throwing out the conferences? I think that's probably a bridge too far.
I would not throw out the conferences. I mean, I still think that you have an opportunity for there to be historical integrity to the season, right? So it will be East versus West. There will be no asterisk here. They will play out the playoffs the way they normally are. And we won't have to say, yeah, but it was that one year when the pandemic hit and we juggled the conferences around. No, the history books will show that the playoffs took place as they always do, which I think is good.
All right. So here's a question that people will ask and we've brought it up on the air before, but let's shout it down. This is from Shay Keatum. Shay, I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. He says, guys, wouldn't it be kind of smart, of course a little dangerous, if teams had their player get the virus on purpose, get through it, and then you wouldn't have to worry about losing a player. There's already players that had it, and now you don't have to worry. Shay, you don't want to mess around with the virus. You don't want to.
That's the most insane thing I've ever heard of.
It's a very dangerous thing. I know people are going to try and outsmart it, and people are going to say, like, for example, but I've heard Dr. Fauci say that they're not 100% sure that you couldn't get it again. They think you can't get it again. But I don't think it's 100% medical certainty, or at least I haven't heard, that it's 100% that if you've had it, you can't get it again. Have you?
I have not. I've not heard it as a medical certainty. It's a brand new virus, and I don't think they know everything they need to know about it. And I don't think you take risks. I mean, not everybody who has gotten sick and died is 70 years old. There are younger people who have had it with terrible impact. So it's not something that you want to have.
And keep in mind, too, folks, that as dangerous as this virus is, and, you know, it's killed over, well, I think we're over 100,000 now.
We're getting close to 100,000, yeah.
Yeah. That's still 1% or less than 1% of population. Most of us don't have it, and hopefully most of us won't get it. We just need to look out for the people that are getting it. And that's what I think the NBA and Major League Baseball and a lot of these governors are talking about, is how can we go back to some sense of normal society and do it wisely, but not just have this blanket shutoff that we have now. And that's what all these people are working towards.
I want to read an email that I just got from Karen A. And it's a very thoughtful email, and I'm just going to read sort of chunks of it. It's a long piece, and she's a big fan of the show. So she says, been a big fan of the show for a while, but I'm finding all the talk lately about bringing sports back to be really upsetting and kind of gross. Baseball players, multimillionaires, though they may be, are people too. They don't have the responsibility of, quote-unquote, healing the country from 100,000 deaths due to a pandemic. Add in the question about adjusting salaries. Why would players who are the ones putting themselves and their families at risk have to accept anything other than their prorated salaries? I'm not going to side with the billionaires on this one, especially when they'll be comfortable in their luxury boats. Sports has an outsized influence on society, but let's not lose sight of what the real issues are and use sports as an excuse to put people at risk, especially when it's just for our own selfish personal comfort.
Well, here's how I would answer. Karen is her name?
Yeah, Karen.
All right, so Karen, I would answer it this way. You have to, the world runs on economics. You have to look at the fact that if they don't play, the owners are going to lose money, so it's just a matter of how much they lose. But if they don't play at all, then all the ancillary people, the people that work at the games and work around the games and work for the teams, there are already some teams that have furloughed people. All those people would continue to be out of work. The reason that most people that make a lot of money, and baseball players make a lot of money, are taking a little bit less is so that the economics can go on, so they can continue. If you have no games, you have no sport.
But her point is, and I think it's a fair one, the owners are not putting themselves at a health risk. The players are. We've acknowledged that it's likely that some player or multiple players will test positive for coronavirus. And when we say test positive, that means might get sick, too, and might get really sick. They're the ones that are being put at risk. Owners are going to be sitting in the owner's boxes, or they're going to be at home in their mansions watching the games on TV. They're not the ones that are taking the health risk. So why should the players both take the risk and take less money?
Because the money that they were given, the money that they were awarded to in those contracts, was based on the sport not being affected by a pandemic.
But they weren't thinking, hey, I could go out and get sick and bring it home to my family.
Well, they don't have to. I mean, like you and I have talked about, if you don't want to play, if you don't want to take the risk, don't play. I'm just saying that if you want to have the sport back, you should be willing to compromise. you know, you and I have talked about this on the air. They came to us and said right at the beginning of this, saying, you know, we've got to cut off a portion of your income. And we didn't even fight it. We just said, and the main reason we did it was we didn't want to see other people get fired.
Right.
But, you know, the company makes way more than you and I are ever going to make.
Sure.
The reason we didn't fight it is because we wanted to show that, hey, we get it. We get that things are different. And we appreciate that we're allowed to continue to do this. We feel fortunate. And if the players are able to play, I'm not saying they should take a giant cut. I'm not even saying they should take 50-50. And that's why I'm anxious to talk to Scott Boras.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to Scott in half an hour as to what he thinks would be reasonable, because I'm sure he's thought about this a lot more than us. But to ask the players to take less than their full salary is okay with me, because everybody else is doing that.
Right. All right. Coming up next for you, Momo is going to join us again. One of the big breaking stories of the day is that there are reports now that there is real momentum now towards the NBA playoffs and perhaps the end of the season. We don't know the details exactly, but that they could be taking place at Disney World not in a medical bubble the way we once heard. We'll talk to Momo about that next. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. In 30 minutes, super agent Scott Boras is going to join us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Look who is on the line with us right now. It is Momo. What is going on?
Hey, look at that. Look at that intro right there. I feel important.
You are feel important.
Look who is on the line with us.
Okay, so we're excited to talk to you because we know you pretty well. We know the minute that this story broke that the Disneyland or Disney World thing could be a possibility, that you pretty much have had a phone attached to your ear. What do you know about the likelihood that this story, which has been reported and retweeted, is actually going to happen? What's your level of confidence?
So I don't think that we are like, okay, it's Disney World. I don't think we're at that place. I still think there is... I think if you read the way it's been reported, I think it's accurate. Teams are hoping that. The league is hoping that. They still kind of have to sell the players on it. I think some players are more into it than others. I know Jared Dudley was posting about it, but I have always thought Vegas was a bit of a red herring. Like, everybody I've talked to about Vegas is like, no, like, we just can't have NBA players in Vegas like that for a long time. There's just too many temptations. There's too many, you know, everybody remembers the All-Star game there. Like, even though the league is very comfortable holding Summer League there and other things, they know Vegas very well. It just seems like Orlando, especially because of its ties with our parent company, ESPN and Disney, would be a nice fit. But I don't think the idea of some level of like team sites is out of the question either. I don't know if we're quite to that spot yet either, because I think you know, players want to know how long is this going to be, what's it really going to be like. I like Jared Dudley's comment today of saying, like, you know, look, if there was like a bubble, it wouldn't be like what you're thinking about. Like, if you leave the bubble, you can't come back. Like, you know, it's like there's still a lot of negotiation with the players,
Momo,
to make sure they're okay.
I'm going to interrupt you for a second. Jared Dudley, we've got he did a conference call or a Zoom call a little while ago, and we've got some of that. Funch, let's do the this is Jared Dudley on the bubble theory.
And that's a great question. I think that people are getting a misconception. It's going to be a bubble in a sense of, hey, here's going to be your hotel where you stay at. Here's going to be the gym where you're playing at. But you will be allowed to leave. Michelle Roberts have said it, and even Adam Silver on the conference call. Now, just because you leave, you know, like, if we're going to give you that leeway, if you come back with corona, you can't play. So we're going to be tested all the time. Mm-hmm. And so it would be smart of teams. So, like, Braun, AD, and all the top guys that we have, we'll be wrapping them in bubble and not letting them go anywhere. Let's just be honest. They can't leave. And so and you would want that to be a team rule. Now, it won't be a league and NBA rule, but you'd want to say, listen, guys, we've come too far. We're going to put our family on hold. Some will have family members come. I don't expect it to be initially. I expect it to be after a week or two, and then eventually they'll be tested. And I just think that it's something we have to sacrifice. I mean, there's a lot of money at stake. There's a lot of stuff for fans. I think we owe it to fans to be able to play. I think there's a lot of Laker fans that want to see us play, and we can bring hope and bring comfort and enjoyment and entertainment. But I think people are going to be okay with it. Some people with newborns, it might be a little difficult. I know Giannis voiced a concern about that, but I just think that once you put it in perspective, man, this is something that everyone wants to finish.
So it's a bubble theory, but it's a permeable bubble.
Yeah.
You can get in and out of it. That's what's going to sell it, I think, for players, Momo.
Exactly. So because, you know, a couple weeks ago, remember when I came on and I had those quotes from Michelle Roberts where she said, this isn't going to be like jail here. Like, we can't have armed guards at the door or people wearing ankle monitors or something. Like, nobody's going to go for that. So if it's going to be a permeable bubble, if Adam Silver, I like reframed it. He called it a campus environment. Right?
Yeah.
It's like being on campus. Yeah, okay. You know, look, they're going to have to do some studies, and they're going to have to convince the players that this is still safer, even if you have a sort of like open environment, especially now that Disney World's going to start having guests again. I mean, the park's going to start opening back up to the general public. I think that's on its way, right?
But I think, Ramon, I think Dudley hit the nail on the head, though, there. He said, yeah, just because you will be able to leave, that you can leave. If you think your team has a chance to win it, why would you?
Right.
You know,
right.
Why would you? Because if you leave, you can't play. I said this yesterday on the show. LeBron and Anthony Davis are set for life. They don't have to play. They want to play.
Yeah.
They want to play. I mean, they want to win a championship. That's what motivates them. So I think that they would be minimizing their chances of outside contact in every way they can. You know, could they still get it? Sure, by some flukish way. But if they test everybody and hey, there's a chance that this thing could, something could pop up that none of us are expecting, and it could work out completely different. But I think what you do is you stack the deck as much as you can to not get it and hope you don't get it.
And I'll tell you one thing. That's right. And I think one thing that I've been hearing the last, you know, week or so as people have been kind of wrapping their heads around this, I think players really do have a sense of how much money is at stake, not only if they don't finish this season, but if they don't play next season. Like, I had one, you know, pretty influential agent tell me, like, look, you know, if you don't want to finish this season because your team's out of it, then, you know, people understand that. But just wait till next year when your salary is going to be cut by 40%. Like, and I think when you say it like that to guys, they get it.
But wait a minute, Momo. Do you think that the rest of the season will play out, or do you think they'll go straight to the playoffs?
I think that you'll have some games before we get straight to the playoffs.
Huh.
Because
that's what I suggested too. But Mason made a good point. He said if you go straight to the playoffs, you minimize the risk.
Yeah,
you
know, you also, because there's less teams that have to come back.
Correct. Less teams, and by the way, and also if there's this second flare up of it or whatever, you've gotten the playoffs in before whatever that is were to happen.
And guys, every time a team loses, they go home. The campus gets smaller as the playoffs roll on.
The thing is, players, and this is a really big point this is going to become very important for you guys. And for all of us, as we talk about coming back, they need to get back in shape. You have a bunch of dudes who are not in shape.
Right.
As much as they've been trying. And when we had the lockout, really fast, remember how fast that training camp was? It was like they signed the deal. They were in camp the next day. They had 2 days. They had.
Right. Just so they could start on Christmas.
Their ACL that year. Yes. Yeah, so they could start. There were so many ACL tears, Achilles tears, et cetera. It is so important for them to have enough time to get back in shape. This training camp is for real. And
how much time is that, Momo? How much time do you think they need?
Look, they've said 3 or 4 weeks. I think 3 or 4 weeks plus a couple of, like, if you want to call them exhibition games or whatever regular season games we need to wrap up. I mean,
wow.
Some of it is a little bit financial too, because there's certain teams, depending on what their regional sports network deals are, how many games they have to have played in order to hit their minimum inventory.
They've got to play
they were supposed
70,
to-
I think.
70. So we weren't quite there. We were like at 65. So that's why I think that I could see, you know, five to seven games that are used as like sort of like, let's get back into this kind of thing. Just to
so tack on them. So in other words, let's say June 1st, they're talking about, I think ESPN's reporting June 1st, players who are out of market can come back and go to the training facilities. You're saying tack a month onto that, maybe more than a month, maybe 6 weeks under that.
Yeah, 4 to 6 weeks, I think.
And then,
but wait a minute, that times out, Ramona. That times out okay.
It does.
Because think about it. If they green light this thing on June 1st, and let's use the longer of your time frame, 6 weeks, that means you start the season on, or the playoffs or whatever they're going to do on July 15th. That's plenty of time.
Yeah.
That's all of June, 2 weeks of July. That's plenty of time. You play, you know, maybe a month and a half, end of August. You could get the playoffs going before, right when the NFL's starting, and crown your champion, and you're done.
Yeah,
I think it would work.
I kind of tend to agree with you. Like, I think that timing sounds right. I do think that you have to allow for some setbacks. Like, we've seen this in European soccer right now. Like, you know, the Bundesliga had a couple setbacks. That's the German soccer league. The Serie A, which is the Italian soccer league. They'll start up and then they'll have like four or five guys on a team test positive and they go, oh no, you guys got to quarantine for a couple weeks. Like, the NBA is walking this line of like, okay, let's say one guy tests positive, okay, you hold him out, but what if four or five guys do? Do we have to have like sort of that same taxi squad idea? Do you really want, like, let's say three Lakers get it in the middle of the first round of the playoffs? Do you really want them having to call up G Leaguers to be able to finish that playoff series?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, these are unprecedented times.
Yeah.
Really are.
You have to allow. So I'm a late person, as you guys know, right? I'm always running late. And I think it's because I'm fundamentally always trying to cram too many things in. And I think that I can get all of them done. You know, like the most optimistic view of how long it takes from my house to the office is 40 minutes. Well, in my mind, I'll go, okay, I need to leave like 45 minutes. No, you need to leave an hour. You need to leave like an extra 20 minutes cushion for something to go wrong, right? For there to be an accident, for you to get on the wrong freeway, to have to pull over to finish a phone call or a text message. That's what we're talking about with the NBA. Like, the most optimistic projection, I think, has them coming back like after 4th of July, middle of July, something like that. But like, let's just like add on.
When you say coming back, do you mean starting training camp or starting playing?
No, the training camp would be in June, right?
June-ish, middle of June probably. Because, you know, guys like Luka Doncic, right? I reported, you know, I don't know if you saw this a little while. He's overseas in Slovenia. He went home.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to have to fly home, and then he's going to have to quarantine. And, you know, because when you come back into the country, like, they make you do that. And there's a lot of foreign players who just, like, flat out got on a private jet and went home to their home countries. You're going to have to allow for some of that. The heat, like, Jimmy Butler, he's been in San Diego. I don't know if he's even gone back to Miami yet. Like, there's just, like, a 2 to 3 week onboarding process from whatever day that is. So let's say it's June 1st that the league says, okay, anybody who hasn't come back yet, now you're allowed to say, we want you to come back. So right now we're calling them voluntary workouts.
Yep.
By June 1st, it's like teams are expecting those will be more like, it's time to come back. It's not so voluntary, right? So 2 to 3 weeks from there is when I think you start a training camp. Does that make sense?
So that's sounding more like an August 1st start to the playoffs.
Yeah. Because I'm building in. This is like Momo trying to learn from her, you know, why am I always late thing.
Right.
You have to build in more time than you think.
Right. Got it. All right. Yeah. Hey, Momo, thanks for the information. We appreciate it, as always.
John, are you going to go to Orlando? Do you think you'd be part of it?
I was telling Mason in the first segment, I have no idea. I would wait to hear, but I'd be so happy we're getting the games back. And I know Michael feels the same way. I'll go wherever they tell me to go. I would just be so excited to be calling games. If I got to call them from my house, if I got to call them from El Segundo or the Laker building, or if I go to Orlando,
like,
I'll be doing cartwheels no matter where hook or by crook. If we get games back, I'll go wherever they tell me.
You did that once, right? You called
China
games
this year.
China?
Yeah, we can do it. I'll be so excited if we get games back. I'll do them from my broom closet if they'll let me.
Would you do them from your hot tub?
Yeah, from your jacuzzi.
Oh, yeah, well, no, but Tuesday night, I'm going to do the Kamenetsky's late night showdown show from the hot tub. So
you're
going to
top me because I did my call-in with the late night hoedown show. I did it while I was working out on my elliptical.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm going to be in the hot tub, and Reagan the dog will be out there with me. And
all I was doing was bouncing up and down on the elliptical the whole time. It was pretty.
It's a rite of passage. Everybody's got to do the Kamenetsky brothers late night show once.
Yeah, Yeah. Have you done it yet, Mace?
Yeah, I did it. I did it. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. No, it's actually a really fun show. They're doing a good job. Those guys, those two kids work hard. They really do. They work hard.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, coming up for you. Thank you, Momo.
You got it.
Coming up for you in 15 minutes, Scott Boras is going to join us at 4 o'clock. And coming up next, Jared Dudley did a Zoom call conference call. We've got that coming up next for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. 710 ESPN, Mason Ireland. Somehow my TV got turned on. We're excited today because we got news that the NBA is moving towards this concept of restarting the season at Disney World in Orlando, Florida. Jared Dudley did a Zoom presser a little while ago. By the way, Scott Boras in 10 minutes. We'll talk about the baseball situation. Jared Dudley did a Zoom presser just a little while ago. He was asked how confident he is about the season resuming.
Right now, I'm 90% confident of returning. And I mean, to be honest with you, the only reason why I wouldn't say 100% is because you're dealing with the unknown virus that could happen at any moment. You know, they keep talking about the second wave or something unexpectedly. But man, I mean, coming from March when this all went down and we had to get tested and you had the nets and you're shut down. And then once you took your kids out of school, you were like, basically, man, like, let's not even think about sports. We're thinking about loved ones and thinking about being with family members and the death rates. And you were thinking about New York's in particular. But now we've got more data. We've got more research. LA's got more testing for everyone, not just professional athletes from all over. Facilities are starting to open back. So for us, everything's gearing of opening back up. And I always thought June 1st was that date. And, you know, Adam Silver, he might go June 5th or whatever, but everything's heading for us to get back in the facilities and get to start practicing before training camp hits.
And, you know, Mace, he addressed the question about do you resume the regular season or will they go straight to the playoffs? The thing you and I, like, I seem to think they'll, and I'm totally guessing, that they might resume with a few games. You think they may go straight to the playoffs. Here's what Dudley had to say about that.
I've heard two or three different scenarios. I've heard one scenario that there would be 5 to 7 regular season games, getting people to the 70-game mark at one point in time for some of these local deals, which has been kind of a bit iffy on that. I've heard that it wouldn't be everyone coming back, maybe a play-in game for that 8th spot where maybe up to the 11th seed. I think there's like 2 or 3 teams. I think Portland, New Orleans, I believe on the other side it might be Washington. Well, basically a play-in game to be able to get 11 or 12 of the teams. And then you guys have guys like Steve Kerr come out and say, hey, they've already mentally checked out. And so you know what? I get it. There's about 16, about four teams on each conference. We can just have them show up, you know, be the better for the league, just be able to do that, and then we'll send them home and then be able to have everyone else play. But I do see that or straight to playoffs. I think straight to playoffs is just easier. We're on a little time, Christine, when it comes to finishing in September and preparing for the next season and getting the draft in. So I just think going right to playoffs, getting some preseason games and maybe 3 to 4 in Orlando or Vegas and then getting right to it.
So here's why that's significant, Mace. He mentioned the 70-game number.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to ask you about. The Lakers have played 63 games. Why is 70 important?
Because some of the – Ramona talked about this. Some of the TV partners, the regional sports networks, so I'll use us as an example. We have a deal with Time Warner, with Spectrum Sportsnet, that if they play 70 games, then you don't have to give backs. You know, everybody gets to keep the money that they were planning on. Let's use the Warriors as an example. The Warriors are on NBC Sports Bay Area. They've played 65 games. So if they would show up down there and play 5 games, and remember, Mace, they could do it in 5 days.
Right.
Or you know, if you don't want guys playing back-to-backs, you could do more than one back-to-back. You could have them play Monday, Tuesday, take Wednesday off, have them play Thursday, Friday, take Saturday off, have them play Sunday, and go home.
Right.
They get their 5 games, everybody gets it in, and you don't have to play Stephen, you know, a ton of minutes in these games. You know, obviously, they're doing it for a TV show to get credit. So that's why the number 70 is significant. But, like Jared said, if you just started with the playoffs, that'd be okay, too.
That'd be totally fine. Absolutely. All right. Coming up next, baseball super agent Scott Boras will join us. Is baseball going to resolve their financial differences between owners and players? And what is in that 67-page safety manual, and how much of it is realistic? We'll get into that with Scott Boras coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.